Good morning. You're with Jeremy and Amanda. Who's this?
This is Rhett Walker.
Hey, hey, Rhett. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. And y'all?
Doing good. Thanks for taking a few minutes to connect with us today, especially as we're leading up to Easter. And we've been hearing a lot of your song, Man on the Middle Cross.
Yeah, it's crazy. I'll be honest with you. I wish I had some super spiritual thing to say about it. Like I was reading Utmost for His Highest and all the Proverbs and praying 23 hours of the day. But I actually got this song idea from TikTok. I went to Nashville to write with Matthew West. Man, the whole ride up, I just had nothing. And, you know, I've never been the type to throw Jesus into a song in hopes, you know, that radio would play it or some people would hear it. I've just always wanted to write songs that were true to what I've lived and lessons I've learned along the way in hopes that it points people to Jesus and helps them along the way. And y'all have heard the ideas I had all the way to Nashville. Y'all have been like, how'd you make it this far? You know? So I'm at the hotel that night, and I'm just like, all right, God, you know, I've left my wife and kids at the house. Like, please give me something where it's not wasted time, you know, away from them. And I was scrolling TikTok before I went to bed, and I came across this sermon clip from Alistair Begg, and he was talking about the man on the middle cross, and, you know, he's Scottish, so he automatically sounds smart. And I was like, what's this guy about to say? And he goes, you know, imagine for a moment, you know, the man on the left and the man on the right, and the man on the right wakes up in heaven, and the angels are like, how did you get here? You didn't live a life worthy of spending eternity with Jesus. Like, you literally walked the earth the same time he did. You didn't follow his teachings. You didn't live out his teachings. You were cussing people out on the way to the cross and making fun of people. You've done nothing that deems you worthy of spending eternity with Jesus. And the thing that got me is he said, can you imagine if the man on the right said, look, I don't know where I am. I don't know how I got here. All I know is the man on the middle cross said I could come. And I was like, man, how much we complicate things sometimes, you know, that should we live a life honoring of Jesus? Like, should we honor our spouses with how we treat them and live and be a good parent and be a good friend and study our Bible and go to church? Yes, we should do all this. But we can't for one second get it twisted that it's not anything we could do to earn it. And we surely don't deserve it, but he paid the price. He did it. And Jesus says that about all of us. We belong. It's just up to us to acknowledge him to be the King of Kings. And that's what the man on the right did in his last breath and said, this is the I am. Like, you shouldn't be on this cross. And I think it reminds us all that it's not about us. You know, it's about Jesus.
I appreciate, you know, your perspective on, yes, we should do all these things, but it's nothing we can earn. And I think a lot of us spend a lot of time trying to figure out, like, if I'm just good enough or if I just present a certain front of, you know, this is the life I'm living, then that's how I'll get acceptance. But that's not what it's about.
No, I feel like a lot of times people, and I say that because I am the same and have done this many a times, even knowing it's dumb. Yeah, I know this ain't the way to go to heaven, but I still do it sometimes. I do like a trophy Jesus type thing, like, ah, man, I didn't read my Bible this morning. I got caught up with kid drop-off, and then all of a sudden I had to run over here, and then, you know, my belly was growling. I ran through McDonald's. Next thing you know, I ain't prayed. I ain't read my Bible. I ain't done nothing. And it's, you know, we should want to do those things, but it's not a trophy Jesus where, like, if we do enough, we earn him. His love and his grace is there. It's just up to us to lay our life at his feet and go, you're king, I'm following you all my days. And the crazy thing about that story of writing the song is I saw that TikTok, was like, ooh, this is the song we got to write. Like, I want to try to find a way to write the song. And I got to Matthew's house the next day, and before, like, we could even get in the conversation, he was like, Rhett, have you seen this video clip of this guy's sermon? And I was like, Bo, we got to write this song or I'm afraid the Holy Spirit's going to come down on us. So it was just a cool moment, man, that I feel like, you know, God could have given that idea to any artist, and he gave it to me. And now it's my job to steward it well as I travel across the country.
And aren't we all glad that Matthew was like, have you seen this guy preaching? We got to do a song about this, instead of, hey, have you seen this dance? Because I think we should do this instead.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I was hoping he was going to say that after we wrote the song, so we could do like a cool TikTok dance.
Well, you touched on it a little bit, but as we're talking about just the message of the song, it fits so well with Easter. And as we're gearing up for that, I just wonder, what would you say to encourage somebody who maybe hears the song, hears this message, understands what Easter and Good Friday are all about, but is just still really struggling to believe that the cross is for them?
Yeah, I would I'd just be mindful to remind them that he didn't send his son to die for 98% of our sins. You know, a lot of times I think people walk through life and heavy, heavy stuff happens. It's hard. This world, you know, is evil. We don't get to pick our or choose our last name. You know, and some of us are dealt hard cards. And so I think a lot of times we're like, yeah, you know, God might have sent his son to die on the cross and pay for this. But if y'all only knew this about me, you don't even know the thoughts I've had before, or, you know, my spouse don't even know that. Like, yeah, I don't know if God could, you know, forgive that. I think the hardest thing to realize is his grace is enough, and he did send his son. And I would say, man, you know, as hard as it might be to lay it down at his feet, it's time to let it go, because it's already been paid in full. And if we realize who Jesus is, we're made a new creation, and there's freedom in that. And that means you don't have to carry that baggage anymore, that you're able to lay it down. And for a lot of people, there's a lot of stuff that is hard to lay down. But if you will realize what the cross did and really pay attention, it's time for you to let go of that baggage and those burdens and that shame that you've carried for far too long that you don't have to carry, because he already took it on himself. That's the reminder I'd give this Easter. You know, I don't travel on Easter weekend. I'm home with the family, and I do that for a reason. Our family tries to remember the heaviness of Good Friday, because it's a heavy day knowing that he died on the cross for my sins. And some of those sins, I on purpose chose my selfish desires over Jesus, you know, and he had to pay the price for that. But also we like to celebrate and honor Jesus in it, but celebrate because we know what happens, you know, in 3 days. And now that he's preparing a place for us, and we get to walk in that freedom. So I think that's what I would share to somebody out there, man, that's listening, that's on the fence, that can't forgive themselves, that is walking in shame, or just having a hard go at life at the moment, you know, that there's love and there's grace and there's joy and there's peace out there because of who Jesus is.
That's a really good word. I was going to like come up with some follow-up question, but you really like, you nailed it all. Just in the, something our pastor said this weekend was, we often, when it comes to the cross and the resurrection, it's a story we've heard so many times, that the extraordinary becomes ordinary. But the way you put it, and that reminder that we can run in freedom, we're not just like hobbled along, like all busted and bruised, like we can run in that freedom and that forgiveness. Like, that's awesome. And we so often forget about that.
It's easy, you know, especially, you know, for us in full-time ministry. I mean, we're talking about it on the daily, you know, but man, the extraordinary turning ordinary, that's a word that'll, you can preach that on a Wednesday right there.
Well, let's switch gears a little bit. You were talking about getting together with your family. How's everyone doing?
Well, we're finally all on the mend. I felt we've been sick since October. You know, the joys of being a family of six. About time one would get better, another one would get sick, and we've had medicine on the countertop, I feel like, since October. But now it's starting to get warm. I feel like everybody's starting to get a little bit better. And, you know, it's one of those things where we're like, we'll pick up a kid and the whole family's tossing them in a room and locking the door if they cough in this house right now.
You
sick?
You are sleeping with the windows open, even if it's very cold outside, because these germs have got to get out of here.
Yeah, I don't know if the amount of Lysol we've sprayed, that might be worse for us than the sickness. Right now. I don't know.
I have a question. So you have four kids. Any of those little boys, like little rats, are you a little worried about any of them?
They both were. So one of them is 16 now. He, you know, it's funny because I've got a 19-year-old daughter, and she's got a boyfriend, and she made me not like teenage boys, you know, just across the bar. And if there's a teenage boy listening right now, odds are I don't like them. And that's only because I got a teenage daughter. I'll like them one day later, you know. But for Jet, he's got a girlfriend now, and his grades are all A's now because she is, you know, an academic person, is going to college on a scholarship type of thing. So she's always studying. So she's got that boy studying like crazy. And I told April, my wife, I was like, maybe I need to call her and be like, listen, if y'all break up, at least wait till you graduate. Because, you know? we got to keep this boy at all A's, and she's crushing it. But for the longest time, he was the most redneck dude, you know, ever. But he's had to chill out for the girls now. Well, Elliot Cash, my 5-year-old, we named him after Sam Elliott and Johnny Cash, and we probably should have prayed about that a little bit more, because that boy, he's got more red on his neck than anybody in the family. He is just redneck. And so he's also the class clown. We went to a parent-teacher meeting the middle of the year, and she was like, he's great, he's kind, he's, you know, top of the class with his smarts, because my wife is brilliant, and so he got that from her. And she goes, but if he gets a laugh from somebody, it's hard to slow him down because he likes the attention. And I was like, well, I guess he's acting like his mama again. You know? And so she even looked at me like, shut up.
Well, I hear a lot of similarities. You've told your story before about your wife, and not that she made you shape up, but you guys had to grow up pretty quick together, and kind of neat to see your son making a choice with a similar young lady.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's wild. You know, that's, girls have that power. They'll make you, you know, straighten up and become a man, and, you know, it's one of those things that I could ask him to make his bed and, you know, keep a clean, tidy room. And if Abby was like, hey, you should keep a clean, tidy room, it's going to be the cleanest room you'll ever walk into, you know? And so that was April for me, for sure. And we were 17 when we got married and had our kid. And, you know, she's 19 and graduated high school last May. And, you know, to look back over these years of just what God has done is miraculous. And yeah, we couldn't have done it on our own. I don't know how people walk through this life, especially this world, without Jesus. I mean, if you had to go to Walmart lately, like, you need Jesus, okay? Or if people drive slow in the left lane, you need some Jesus. Or you're going to end up giving them, you know, something you shouldn't. But yeah, God's been good, man. We'll celebrate 20 years this July.
Incredible.
Well, we certainly appreciate being able to connect with you, Rhett, and appreciate your music, and especially the good word that you shared with us, and update on family. Anything else you want to leave with us before we let you go?
Man, no, not much. I just hope it's warm wherever you are, and that the sun shines brighter than it has, and the pools heat up so we can all get back to swimming and get out of this, you know, blue sky cold mess.
Well, Rhett Walker, you take care, and we look forward to talking to you soon.
I appreciate y'all.
Yeah, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks again.
All right, see ya.